The Basin loves sports.
Hello.
Gonzalez gives it to McGann. He triggers a three. McGann does it again. Give me a break. Tristan McGann, three triples this half.
That one's hit deep to left. No one's going to take that away. It is gone. A solo home run for Pua-Cam Milbourne ties this one up at one.
Join us as we break down the biggest games and meet the biggest stars. From the 960 Sports Studios in downtown Klamath Falls, presented by Gino's Cafe, it's Ballin' in the Basin with Josh Eldridge.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Ballin' in the Basin tonight on 104.3 and 960 Sports Podcast, as always, available on mybasin.com. My name is Josh Eldridge. So glad to be with you tonight on another Thursday. Thank you for making our show a part of your week, whether you're listening to it live or whenever you get to it. I just find it wild that so many people have been tuning into the show. It's grown so much, even since we first started it, 65 episodes ago. So thank you if you've spread the word about the program or shared it with your family or with your classmates or whomever it might be. Hopefully we can continue to grow here in the new year in 2026. I'm very much looking forward to it. We've got a good show for you, hopefully, tonight, talking some high school basketball. It's been kind of a quiet week as far as high school basketball goes. We had a couple rivalry games earlier in the week, but some teams haven't actually played since last week, and we'll talk about that as we move along. We're about halfway through conference play, depending on what league you look at. Skyline Conference for the 4A teams about a third of the way through. The 2A and the 1A conferences just about halfway through their league season. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Oregon Tech basketball back in action this weekend. Odd tip-off times against LC State and Walla Walla. We'll discuss that with a couple basketball players from Oregon Tech. Jackson Cooper and Tatum Schmierbach joining the show tonight. I am so excited to have each of these folks on. Both reigning Cascade Conference Players of the Week. Each of them won it this last week, and each for the fourth time, which, and we're going to talk about it later on, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think has ever been done by a men or women's basketball player in Oregon Tech history, and now Tatum and Jackson do it on the same week, and we get to have them on our show, and boy, am I excited to talk with them a little bit later on in tonight's program, so you're going to want to stick around for that, and then I'll also clue you in on the broadcasts that we've got coming up this weekend. Of course, Oregon Tech's going to be in action. We've got some high school coverage to get to on Friday night, so very much looking forward to all of it. Thank you again for finding our program, and well, let's go ahead and jump into it. We'll start where I always do, and that's going to be with high school basketball or high school sports. In this case, let's talk a little hoops. We'll start up at the top with the 4A Skyline Conference. We'll start at the boys first. Hidden Valley still unbeaten in their league play, 5-0 right now. Klamath Union hot on their heels though, 4-1. Their only loss, of course, suffered to the Mustangs earlier in the season, but Klamath Union picking up a quality win against Henley earlier in the week. We'll talk about that in a moment. Mazama 2-2, Henley 1-4, Phoenix is 0-5. And for Mazama's sake, they're one of those teams who I kind of mentioned a moment ago who hasn't played in a week. Their last game was a 69-40 loss against Klamath Union back on Friday, a game that was really taken over by Klamath Union's superb three-point shooting. No surprises there. That's how they've won a lot of their games. And their game against Henley, though, 53-43 back on Tuesday. I don't know if that was won by superb three-point shooting or just quality defense and staying the course down the stretch. It was a game of kind of opposite styles when you break it down. The numbers that jumped out to me, we'll talk about the leading scorers first, and then I'll break out the numbers that jumped out to me. Klamath Union actually led in scoring in that game by Tristan Klecker. Tristan got into foul trouble for most of the first half, but had a really strong 8-point second quarter and added five more in the third quarter and just really was able to turn it on in that second half. Klamath Union was helped out 13 points by Toby Thomas. Those were your two double-digit scorers for Klamath Union. Thomas, by the way, hitting 3 three-pointers in that game for Klamath Union. For Henley, it was a tough game for points to come by. One player scored in double digits. It was Kai Taylor. He had 10 points, many of which were at the free throw line. Micah Ibarra had 9. Corbin Hamilton had 7, and so those were your scorers there for Henley. The number that jumped out to me is you suffer a 10-point loss if you're Henley, and they were 16 of 25 at the free throw line. That's 9 points that they left at the free throw line. Now, obviously, if you count those and nothing changes in the game, Henley still loses. But even if you make five or six or seven of those, the complexion of the game changes late. And, well, I said it during the broadcast, and I'll say it again right here, taking the words right out of Bill Shonley's mouth, which is you've got to make your free throws. And that was certainly the case for Henley on Tuesday. They've just struggled at times at the line, shooting in late games like that. And it was the case again on Tuesday. Klamath Union, backed by a great student section, as they always are, were able to close out Henley back on Tuesday night. And again, for that, they stay right in the hunt for a Skyline Conference championship. As we look ahead at their schedule, they play Hidden Valley on Tuesday, the 3rd of February. That's going to be a game you want to key in on, because it could very well help decide a league champion. And in the Skyline Conference, the top two teams get automatic bids. So even if you don't outright win the league title, if you stick around that second place spot where Klamath Union is right now, they will be one of the 16 teams fighting for a state championship in March, which again, they're on pace for right now. Again, Mazama is still in the mix. They're 2-2, looking to grab some big wins coming up. And Henley, with an on-league game coming up on Friday against Madras, they are going to be searching for some Skyline Conference wins in the back half. Mazama's got Hidden Valley on Friday. That's going to be a tall task for them. Hidden Valley has been playing real well as of late. So now looking in the 2A East Cascades Conference, Trinity Lutheran, no doubt, leading the group there. The number one team in the state, 18-1 overall on the year, 5-0 in conference. They are continuing to roll right along. Lowell is 4-1 right now in the East Cascades Conference. Bonanza and Lost River neck and neck, both with three wins, although Lost River does have one extra loss. They're 500. Bonanza's only 3-2. Oak Ridge and Culver round out the list there. Now, one of the great games that we did get earlier in the week, this was on Tuesday, was Lost River against Bonanza on the boys' side. We'll talk about the girls a bit later on, but on the boys' side, it was a tight 6-point win for Bonanza. They were led twofold in scoring. Dominic Lamboy, Garrett Gallagher, each having 15 points in the outing. 54-48, the final score there. But they actually didn't even lead all scorers on the floor. Parker Staunton, a standout game for Lost River High School, had 19 points in this one. Kellen Dunley pitched in 14 in the loss there for Lost River. But as I look at this right now, Bonanza, you know, they snapped a little bit of a skid. They had lost three of their four games, including losses to the top teams. You know, Trinity Lutheran, Lowell had losses mixed in there. Cascade Christian, a 3A team that they lost to. But again, that win against Lost River hopefully can carry some momentum into their game against Culver, which is coming up on Friday. For Lost River, again, their third loss, and I fear that they just are needing to find their identity a little bit. They haven't actually won a game on the floor since January 14th, the game against Butte Valley. They do have two recorded wins since then. They picked up a win against Culver, and already have recorded a forfeit tomorrow against Oak Ridge, so those a couple of wins there. But again, Oak Ridge, they defeated earlier in the season, 58-44. That's their only legitimate win on the floor for Lost River. I don't want to take anything away from their record, but in the games that you play, Lost River is only 1-3 in conference games, and so trying to find a little bit of that identity. You know, if you get big games like that from Parker Staunton and Kellen Dunley, that tends to set you up for success. You'd like to see a little bit more from guys like Drew McDonald, Connor Guthrie. I know Colby Medeiros has been dealing with some things. He's been out, at least in the games that I've seen for Lost River this season. So, you know, still time to turn it around. In the East Cascades Conference, as I look at how the playoff picture is going to shake out, the East Cascades Conference is going to send two teams to the 16-team playoff, whereas a lot of the other 2A conferences get to send three teams. So really, again, it's the same idea is the Skyline. You want to finish in the top two, and well, as we look at it right now, and like I said, Bonanza is positioning themselves to be a part of that picture. They've just got to find a way to sneak ahead of Lowell or hope that Trinity Lutheran starts to lose some games, although I think that fighting behind from Lowell is probably the better option for the Antlers, and they're ranked 15th in the state. So you also got to remember that there's going to be some at-large bids that come through too, and well, if the season ended today, Bonanza would earn one of those at-large bids. They would be the final team in to the 16-team playoff, if my math serves correctly. That's where they would be if the postseason started today. So right now, not in bad shape for Coach Campbell Ness's squad. Looking down in the 1A boys classification, Chiloquin 8-1, Cross Point Christian 7-1. The interesting thing about these teams is that each of their losses are forfeit losses. Of course, we talked about it last week. Cross Point Christian playing an ineligible player in their game against Chiloquin. Well, Chiloquin just wound up doing the same thing back on Tuesday this week. They unfortunately played an ineligible player in their game against Central Christian, so a forfeit loss, despite actually outscoring Central Christian in that game. The final score, had it stood, would have been 67-47, and Chiloquin played great. Denver Bravo had 18 points, Leland Wilder had 15, Dylan Black had 14. So unfortunate for Chiloquin's part that you wind up playing an ineligible player there. I'm having a lot of trouble with that word today, my goodness. But, you know, they still haven't lost a game on the floor yet in league play. They've won a lot of them by a fairly wide margin. Right now, Chiloquin in the top 10 in the OSAA classifications. They are number 10, Cross Point Christian number 7. So both of these teams in good shape right now. You know, one of them would have to have had one loss right now. Obviously, they played it out. It probably would have been Chiloquin, standing at 8-1 anyway. But Cross Point Christian right there. I can't wait till these two teams get on the floor again, which is coming up on February 10th, not too long away. And hopefully that game sticks, stays in the books, because I want to see these guys play it out and battle for a league championship at the end of the season. Prospect Charter 6-3. They've got an outside shot, but they're going to have to beat Cross Point and Chiloquin in their back half of these games. And I think that's going to be a real challenge for them, because they're just so good, and for different reasons too. Chiloquin is so darn fast. Cross Point Christian is so darn big, and so that's going to be an interesting matchup when those two teams get together later on in the year. Let's switch over to the girls' side of things, and we'll start again up at the top in the Skyline Conference. Henley, of course, 5-0. They are just rolling right on along. Most recently, a 77-34 win against Klamath Union. Credit to the Pels. 34 points is the most a team has scored on Klamath Union in league play and at all since January 3rd. So quality game by the Pelicans, all things considered. Henley is just an extremely tough team to beat. It's a great game for Michaela Schroeder. She had 18 points in the contest. Gretchen Sheen had a great showing, 14 points. Preston Shade added 12 in the effort for Henley. And by the way, I want to make it known as well, offensive rebounds, 11 offensive rebounds for Michaela Schroeder. I mean, 17 defensive rebounds. I mean, that's just unreasonable for Michaela Schroeder. I mean, she's just so dominant on the glass, gets those second, third, fourth chance opportunities for Henley, and that's really what they thrive on this year. Looking at the rest of the Skyline Conference, Mazama is 2-2, Phoenix 2-3, Klamath Union 2-3. Hidden Valley 1-4. Like I said, Mazama hasn't played since their game on Friday against Klamath Union. Phoenix was able to find a win against Hidden Valley back on Tuesday, 54-22 there. And so that's how your standings look right now in the Skyline Conference. It's really, unfortunately, I hate to say it, only a third of the way through the season, but it's really a race for second place, I think, in the Skyline Conference. And right now, Mazama, Phoenix, and Klamath Union all in the mix to earn that second spot to the playoffs out of the Skyline Conference. Moving to the 2A East Cascades Conference, well, wouldn't you know, Trinity Lutheran leads the league in the girls' side of things as well, unbeaten, 5-0 in league play, 11-7 overall. Bonanza and Lost River right behind them, though. Bonanza 4-1, of course, most recently for them, a win against Lost River on Tuesday, 55-36. Then you've got Lowell, 2-3 as well, Culver, 1-4, and Oak Ridge is 0-5. Again, same rules apply. Two teams from the East Cascades Conference get out of automatic bids to the playoffs, and then after that, two more teams get at-large bids. Although, unlike the boys' side, it doesn't look like the third-best team in the East Cascades has a shot at making it in. Right now, Lost River holds that spot. They're 26th in the OSAA ranking, whereas, as I look around, Myrtle Point is number 14. They would have a bid over Lost River. Heppner's number 9. Let's see, Eastland Christian is number 13. Colton is number 15. So, I mean, they're the lowest-ranked third-place team in the 2A classification right now, so they would not be able to find it. So they've got to find a way to inch past Bonanza, maybe in their second meeting later on this season. You can circle the date on your calendar. It's going to be February 13th is when they play Lost River again in a chance to try to inch ahead the Raiders in the 2A East Cascades Conference standings. Lastly, let's touch the Mountain Valley League in the 1A class. Right now it is Northlake leading the pack. No surprise there. The defending league champs, Northlake 6-0, 14-4 overall on the season. Rogue Valley Adventist Academy is in second right now, 4-1. Then you've got Cross Point Christian, Central Christian. Chiloquin is 1-5, and Prospect Charter is 0-6. Last time out for Cross Point was their win against Lost River, 53-30 on Saturday. Chiloquin, their last time out, a tough loss to Central Christian, 64-18. Chiloquin has one win since the Antler Classic back in before Christmas, December 19th and 20th, and that's when the injury bug really started to bite the Panthers. Unfortunately for them, sometimes this is how seasons go. The girls are playing tough. They almost snuck a win off Burns back on Thursday last week, 60-52. Played them tightly, but again, a lopsided loss to Central Christian back on Tuesday, and then they play Northlake coming up tomorrow, which is going to be a tall task as well. So, you look at the Mountain Valley League, Cross Point Christian, again, they're in the mix. Chiloquin, unfortunately, sliding, but you hope they're able to find some footing and maybe take some momentum into next season. Coming up as far as broadcast-wise this weekend, like I said, Henley playing Friday night. They're going to be playing at home against the Madras White Buffaloes, a non-league contest there. It's an endowment game as well, which effectively means that all the proceeds are going to the OSAA Foundation, that's the gate and stuff like that, going to the OSAA Foundation, which uses the money to then redistribute to some of the less fortunate schools, buy athletic equipment, help kids cover fees so that way they can participate in sports and all that great stuff. So an opportunity to come on out, give back to the OSAA Foundation and watch some Henley basketball Friday night. We'll be on the call on mybasin.com. We're going to step aside briefly here on the program tonight on Ballin' in the Basin. When we come back, I want to set the scene for what Oregon Tech's got coming up this weekend, and then later on in the show we're going to chat with a couple of their players, Jackson Cooper and Tatum Schmierbach, coming up later on in the program tonight on Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports.
January kicks off a celebration at Gino's Cafe, Sports Bar, and Market on East Main Street. 40 years in business at the same location with the same family ownership. So now it's time to celebrate our 40th anniversary year. And we begin it all with a new menu this month featuring many items that you've requested. So come check it out. January's monthly specials will warm you up during cold winter days with our house-made chili. Have it in a cup, a bread bowl with a big dog and fries, or combine it with cheesy fries. Others might prefer for our popular house-made Ortega burger, and for dessert, it's salted caramel cheesecake. Check out our new assortment of t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, and pint glasses honoring our 40th anniversary. We open every morning at 6:30, serving our famous breakfast burritos. Call 884-6474 to place an order right now, or use DoorDash delivery, or best of all, come dine in with us. We love serving you in person. It's Gino's on East Main Street. Check out our full menu at ilovegino's.com.
This is Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports. From downtown Klamath Falls, we're back with Ballin' in the Basin.
Welcome back to Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports, the podcast available on mybasin.com. Just got done talking some high school hoops a moment ago. If you missed any of that, be sure to grab that podcast, by the way, breaking down everything that's heading into the weekend. I want to spend some time on Oregon Tech basketball. We're going to spend a lot of time on it in just a little bit when we talk with Jackson Cooper and Tatum Schmierbach, a couple of players from the men and women's basketball teams, both the reigning conference players of the week. So plenty of Tech talk still to come, but I want to just give you a little bit of an in-depth breakdown of what happened this last weekend for Tech and what's coming up. What's coming up is a fun night, by the way. Friday night against, or I guess Friday afternoon against LC State. This is why it's partly fun, because the tip-off times are so strange. Noon and 2 o'clock on Friday for the Hustlin' Owls, then 6:30 and 8:30 on Saturday night. Friday night is K through 12 day, so I mean, it's just going to be a blast. I can remember, I think this is the second or third season that they've done this now. And one of the first years I was at the game, it's always against LC State because it balances the late games that Walla Walla requires. But late free throws against LC State, and the Warriors were the clear favorite coming into that game, and they just clanked all of their late free throws because the kids were just screaming their heads off. And with every miss, they got louder. It was glorious. I loved it. I love when those kids get in there and just, I mean, they just yell and scream. And I'm excited to talk and see what Jackson and Tatum think about that a little bit later on in the program. But that's what's in store for Friday against LC State, noon and 2 o'clock. And then, as Mike Safford, the voice of the Hustlin' Owls, calls it Saturday night, it's Cascade Conference After Dark. 6:30 tip-off for the women, 8:30 tip-off for the men. It's going to be an interesting one. I want to talk a little bit about what these two teams did last weekend, though. For the women, a 90-61 win against Evergreen State. They turned that into an 81-69 win against Northwest on Saturday. Again, 81-69. For the men, it was a little bit of a closer game, I think, than they wanted against Evergreen State. 88-83 there, the win for Tech. And then a 79-75 win against Northwest on Saturday. Standouts for this game, obviously, our conference players of the week, Tatum and Jackson. But you look at the game against Evergreen State, Josie Ramos had a double-double, 25 points, 15 rebounds, a solid outing for her. Also contributing for the men, Dakota Reber actually led the men against Evergreen State in the 88-83 win. Dakota had 26 points and 10 boards. He's been contributing a ton this season. It's great to see him really find his footing this year and be able to just fill up the cup. Dakota Reber leading the men against Evergreen State. Against Northwest, that was the game that Tatum Schmierbach recorded her triple-double. We'll talk about that with her a little bit later on in the program. And then for the men against Northwest, Jackson Cooper, 31 points. We'll talk with him about that, flirting with a double-double there. Dakota Reber scoring 23 more and adding 6 rebounds in the effort. He was 8 of 9 at the line in that game, was Dakota. So good weekends for both the men and women's basketball teams. But now as we look ahead to LC State and Walla Walla, it poses a unique threat. And look, the Saturday games, you'd like to think for both teams winnable against Walla Walla. I mean, on the men's side, Walla Walla is whatever the opposite of undefeated is. I mean, they've still got a goose egg in the wins column. And then for Walla Walla on the women's side, they give up a ton of points and they don't particularly shoot great. Right now, they're 3-15 on the season, 1-11 overall. They only shoot 30% from the field as a team. The thing is that when they do fill up the cup, they typically do pretty well. When they score 60 or more points, they're 3-0, but boy, have they given up a lot of points. And for Tech, they are perfect 24-0 all time in this series against Walla Walla on Saturday. I've got to pick them, but the LC State games, those are going to be interesting. Starting on the men's side, LC State is only a game back of Oregon Tech in the standings, and well, they played some tough games last weekend. They lost to College of Idaho in a tight one, 68-66. Then you turn around, you play Saturday. They found a way to beat Eastern Oregon, 77-73. That's the matchup that they're carrying into Oregon Tech. Knocked Eastern out of first place and allowed Tech to climb into first place. With that one there, Warriors hold an edge against Klamath all-time series, 9-7. It's going to be a tight one. But again, Oregon Tech beat LC State at their place. And now you just got to defend home court in front of a, again, crazy crowd that's going to be there on Friday afternoon. Looking at the women's side against LC State, the top team in the Cascade Conference, number 13 in the nation. They have won their last 6 straight, and their actually last loss was to Oregon Tech on January 3rd. So again, it's one of those things where you know Lady Owls can beat them. They've got to perform at home against a team that has been just really clicking as of late. But again, man, it's an environment that teams get rattled in on Friday with all those kids. It's something that you only play in probably, you know, once a year, really. I mean, Oregon Tech, you know, you play in once a year, but LC State, you play in that once a year, and for some players, it'll be their first time playing in that environment. I mean, it's hard to describe just how truly loud it is, and it's not loud in the way that it typically is with all the grown-ups screaming. I mean, it's a high-pitched squeal, a screech. I can probably only stomach it for 4 hours, but let me tell you, those 4 hours that I'm at Danny Miles Court watching these games, it's going to be fun, and you really do lean into it. I'm excited for this weekend for Tech basketball. We're going to talk a little bit more about it coming up in just a bit. A playoff berth on the line for the Lady Owls coming up this weekend, and an opportunity for the men to stake their place atop the Cascade Conference. Again, coming up in just a bit, Jackson Cooper, Tatum Schmierbach joining us, the Cascade Conference Players of the Week on 104.3 and 960 Sports.
I'm Jason Taylor with Elevate Physical Therapy, Fitness, and Performance right here in Klamath Falls. We are proud to be your official timeout sponsor this sports season with 960 Sports, and we're even more proud to support the incredible youth athletes in our community. At Elevate, we specialize in helping athletes recover from injuries and get back to doing what they love. Whether it's a sore knee, a sprained ankle, or something even more serious, we take the time to understand each athlete's goals and build a personalized recovery plan that works. If your athlete needs physical therapy, Elevate offers one-on-one care, tailored support, and science-based treatment plans designed to build strength, restore movement, and keep them healthy for the whole season. So whether you're a player, a parent, or a fan, stop by or give us a call at 541-887-2030. We'll be here all season long supporting our youth and celebrating everything that makes this community so special. Elevate Physical Therapy, Fitness, and Performance right here when you need us all season long with 960 Sports.
Ballin' in the Basin is brought to you by Gino's Cafe on East Main Street in Klamath Falls. Dine in or call ahead. Go to ilovegino's.com.
Welcome back to Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports, a podcast available of tonight's show on mybasin.com. Very excited for our guests in studio tonight. Oregon Tech men and women's basketball players, Jackson Cooper, Tatum Schmierbach along with us tonight. Guys, thank you so much for making time in your busy schedule. We got some games coming up this weekend. Want to talk about it all. But first, I want to have you introduce yourselves into the microphones. Let our listeners make out who's who, and we'll get off and rolling.
Go ahead.
I'm Tatum Schmierbach.
I'm Jackson Cooper.
All right, guys, let's talk about recent news. A couple of wins for both your teams this last weekend. Tatum, your wins were a little bit more comfortable from the guys, so we'll start there. You had a triple-double in the game against Northwest, 19 points, 10 rebounds, and assist. What allowed you to have such an individual impact on the game? What'd you see out there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously playing with talented teammates plays a huge role in getting a triple-double because those assists can be hard to come by. But, yeah, I rely heavily on my team's ability to finish around the basket to, you know, get those kinds of stats. And then, yeah, just, like, being able to impact the game from other, like, standpoints, not just scoring, is what I try to really focus on. And then scoring usually piggybacks off of those kinds of things, like, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have won four straight on the road. Your last home win, though, was December 20th. Granted, you've only had two opportunities since then, but you guys have played well on the road this season, 7-3 record away from home. What's allowed you guys to perform so well away from Danny Miles Court and avoid getting rattled?
Yeah, definitely. We have just performed well on the road this year. I think our preseason schedule played a lot into that because we started the year off with a really tough road schedule. We went to Tennessee and Kentucky and just played all ranked teams and were really tested and didn't really come out on top then. But I think we're reaping those benefits now because, you know, we're like battle tested. We don't get rattled from, like, you know, getting down, and we can just come back from deficit and kind of stay together in that way.
Jackson, you had a good weekend too. 20 points, 12 boards in the game against Evergreen, but Northwest was really, you really left your mark on that one. 31 points in 39 minutes, that's a season high for you. 15 of 24 shooting, both of those season highs for you, and you had four steals, another season high. What allowed you to be so dominant in that game?
I think just same thing Tatum was saying, just my team being able to finish around the rim, finish plays, and then when it's my time to score, my time to impact the game and the scoring avenue, that's just, I don't know, I'm willing to do that as well. But yeah, just rebounds and assists, always something that I'm looking to do just because that's something that I can impact the game at all times. So yeah, that was important.
You guys are 15-5 on the season, 10-2 in the conference. That's good enough to be leading the league right now. But you've had to gut out some tough wins this season. This weekend was a good example. You had a 5-minute run that was 19-4 that allowed you guys to get out in front of Evergreen State. Against LC State, you guys had a 9-point lead in the second half. It went away, but with 4 minutes left, you guys were able to, like I said, kind of stay the course and hold on to that one. What gives this team that edge late in games, and how would you describe the feeling playing in those close late games?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our defense is just a massive part of that. Last year, we could really score the ball really well, but on the road, we had some difficulties because you can't let another team score 90 or 80 on the road and come out victorious. So it's super important that we're able to get stops down the stretch and weather those runs. It's a lot easier to come back from an 8-0 run than it is a 16-0 run or some of that nature. So, and also just playing with the guys, playing with a younger team, everybody's super confident and super hungry. And I think that's just been a key to success for us on the road and at home this year.
For each of your hard work this last weekend, you earned Cascade Conference Players of the Week, each for the fourth time. I did some research. There's only records dating back to 2013, but to that end, no basketball players in OIT history have ever won 4 Conference Players of the Week in the same season, and now I'm sitting here with the first two to ever achieve it on the same week. How does it feel to have that number hit you?
It feels great. It really does. Just like all the hard work we put in the off season, it's really nice seeing it come to fruition here, and I'm just hoping I can keep it going, you know. Yeah. I hope I haven't peaked yet. I'm just still on the climb, so yeah.
I think it's something we'd always poke fun with each other about because we never win it in the same week, so I think it was kind of funny that we won it the same week this time, and it was both our fourth, so now it's just even more of a competition. We can get it next.
There you go. Jackson Cooper, Tatum Schmierbach joining us tonight on Ballin' in the Basin. And I want to go to each of your backgrounds a little bit. Tatum, we'll start with you. You went to South Medford High School, graduated in 2023. Kendall Feely on that team, a current teammate. Also on that squad, Donovan Hunter, is now at TCU, but began at Oregon State. One thing I didn't realize, though, is how young that team was. You guys had 6 freshmen on that team. What can you recall about that season?
Yeah, it was a great season. I think we finished state runner-up. Yeah. So it was a great season. I remember it being my first time like really stepping into a leadership role on a team. And I took it really seriously. I really tried to grow myself from a leadership standpoint. And playing alongside Donovan and Kendall as seniors was like the best people you can have around you. Like, they're just such great people along with great basketball players. So I was really lucky to have them around me. And then having just like the energy from those 6 freshmen. I think I want to say 5 of them are going to play in college.
Wow.
A few at the D1 level. Like, they were a super talented group of girls. And I feel like I learned as much from them as, you know, they could from me. And we just like poured into each other, and it was a great environment. Really happy, really, you know, like a lot of friendship. And I think that's the best way to play basketball. So,
when you say you had to step into a leadership role then, I'm sure you have to do the same now as a junior at Tech. What sorts of things were you able to learn as a senior in high school that you can apply now?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've grown a lot as a leader this year, because last year, after the 2 injuries, Olivia and Gabby going down, I was kind of thrust into that position a little bit earlier than I anticipated.
Yeah.
And so I think I've learned a lot from last year to this year, just trying to lead by example primarily, and like with positivity. I think that's another thing I learned from high school too, is, you know, negativity really doesn't get you anywhere with people. And we were super positive in high school, so I tried to kind of carry that over to now and just like pumping up my teammates more than anything.
Brooke Anderson, who's on the team now, attended Grants Pass High School those years. That's a league rival to you guys at South Medford. Does the Cavers-Panthers rivalry ever boil up at team practice?
Not usually. I will say in high school, we were not fans of each other because she was the main person on our scouting report. So, but yeah, it's been great playing with Brooke. She's an incredible person and one of my really good friends. And I love her. So pretty much just teammate vibe now. We don't really talk about that too much.
What was your recruitment process to Oregon Tech like?
I had Coach Lease came and watched a couple of my practices, I want to say in the fall of my senior year. And then from there, Paul Poach was the head coach at the time, and he took over mainly just a lot of texts and calls between him and I. And I came on a visit in November. and had a great time, was really intrigued by the academics here, and then I committed in January. So yeah, I just, the team environment, the culture, the community, I was really drawn toward it. I thought it was cool that my sister played at Southern and I could go play at OIT and there'd be a little bit of rivalry. You know, I thought it'd be fun to play against her, but also be able to kind of create my own way, because I thought about going to Southern Oregon as well, but I figured maybe, you know, doing my own thing would be good.
You picked a bold place to land, too.
Yeah.
You kind of brought it up there. Basketball's a family affair for you. But for those who might not know, how did basketball come into your life?
Yeah, I mean, my dad has been a coach forever. He played at Southern and, you know, actually grew up here, played at Klamath Union. So basketball's a part of the Schmierbach household for as long as I can remember. I remember going to his games and watching him coach as, you know, some of my earliest memories as a kid. And yeah, just summer camps and practice, watching practices, you know, we were just year round always in it. And somehow all three of us ended up loving it. So my parents got lucky with that one.
How competitive were the pickup basketball games as a kid?
Oh, super competitive. Yeah, the one-on-ones, there's endless stories of it. But yeah, we're going to have a rematch here soon. We've all grown a lot since the last time.
I was with the team in the national tournament in 2024 when you guys exited in the second round. I was in the elevator with the coaching staff at the time. One of the assistants looked to Coach Lease and said, after the game, I saw the look in Tatum's eyes. She's not going to let this happen again. That game, you had 4 points. Since that game, you have scored less than 10 points exactly 0 times.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So you didn't let it happen again.
Yeah.
What can you recall about kind of that moment and really, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone after your freshman year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that loss at Carroll was heartbreaking. You know, it always is, ending your season on a loss. But the unfortunate reality is that almost every team will end their season on a loss.
Yeah.
So kind of putting that into perspective and, you know, really just getting in the gym. That's like the only thing you have control over, you know, is improving yourself and, you know, hoping that inspires your teammates to get on the same kind of mindset. And yeah, I really took a look in the mirror, I would say, and just tried to develop my skills.
You're studying medical imaging at OIT. Do you have a career path laid out on what it looks like after college?
Yeah, so right now I'm in the radiologic science program. So I have one more year on campus next year, which will be my senior year of basketball. Mm-hmm. But technically, I'll still be a junior in that program. So after that, I'll go on an externship. And then, yeah, I'll be in the career field after that. So 2 more years and then.
Have you thought about how basketball stays in your life after that? Do you want to keep playing? Do you want to coach? Does it go away?
Yeah. I mean, my passion, I love basketball so much. You know, I watch it, I play it, I think about it all the time. So to think that it would all be over next year, you know, that doesn't really cross my mind. I definitely want to keep it in my life, whether that be coaching or, you know, possibly playing beyond college. I mean, if the opportunity is there for me, I definitely would take it. So, yeah.
Tatum Schmierbach with us tonight on Ballin' in the Base. And we've also got Jackson Cooper here tonight. Let's go back to high school with you, too. Cleveland High School, 2023 graduate. You helped your team win its first league title in 60 seasons. Can you describe that experience and the kind of school pride you were able to feel during that time?
Yeah, I think playing for Cleveland and growing up in the Cleveland youth programs, I think that was always a thing that was kind of roaming over us, is that Cleveland's never been good at basketball. They never will be good at basketball, especially playing in such a great league like the PIL, where you have teams like Jefferson and Roosevelt that are always just at the top of the standings. When we saw that opportunity come in front of us, like, we just had to take it. I had a lot of great teammates that felt the same way about the league and thought that we were, kind of disrespected often. So I think that's kind of just something that was burning in our guts, and that season we were able to win the first league title, and that was massive for the community and our team, and yeah, it was a great experience.
How did you come into playing basketball? I mean, was it always as easy as I'm tall, so I'm going to hoop, or like, was there other sports that you played too?
I did play other sports. Played like little league baseball and soccer and stuff, but just none of the other sports really were as attractive to me as basketball. I mean, yeah, it obviously helped that I was always tall, but just more of like the team aspect of it. I don't know if that's just because I had great teammates growing up and stuff, but basketball was something that was I was always super attracted to and was always trying to get better again in the gym.
Let's go over your recruitment to Oregon Tech. How did you wind up landing here?
So actually Jared Sucher, my teammate right now, it was me, Jared, and Sean Chris Trezvant. We all played on the same AU team in high school and senior year. And at the time, Jared was being recruited by Oregon Tech just because Jameson and Blake, they all played at Sherwood, and Jared played at Sherwood as well. So the coaching staff had kind of seen Jared coming up in the Sherwood program and then started recruiting him. So at a couple of the tournaments, Parnell and Mitch came to. They watched some of our team fly games, and then I guess they just enjoyed my play as well, so started talking with me, and we just developed a relationship and... Yeah, just kept talking all throughout my junior and senior season, and by the time it came to when it came time to make a decision, I just felt the most at home here and had Jared and SC wanting to commit as well, and so that just played a big part in it.
I recall having Coach Parnell down here to the studio as well. Before the season, we have him come in and kind of talk about the team, describe each of the players. And he got to you and he said, I think he could be conference player of the year one day. You haven't gotten that yet, but you have carved out your own legacy with the player of the week honors like we discussed earlier. But clearly, Coach had a lot of confidence in you, even as a freshman. Did you share that same confidence in yourself, or did Coach Parnell have to build that within you?
No, I think that's something that's always been within me. As soon as I came to Oregon Tech, and honestly far before that as well, every time I step on the court, I believe I'm the best player. I want to be the best player. And obviously, like my freshman and sophomore year, I didn't really get the full opportunity to do that because I had so many great players in front of me, and I kind of had to earn my way into the lineup. And then obviously this year, being able to be a starter and be a captain, I had to earn that. And that's something I really respect about the coaching staff here is they are loyal to their guys and they stick with their guys. So, I mean, there's no bad blood there. I think I needed to earn all the minutes that I am getting now. But, no, I don't think it's something that they had to instill in me at all. I think that comes from within myself for sure.
You brought it up. This year's obviously been breakout for you. A lot of numbers admittedly jump up when you get that starting role and you just get more time on the floor, like playing 39 minutes last weekend. But more points, you're scoring 18.3 a game. That's good for third in the conference. More rebounds, again, third in the conference. But you're like a third of a rebound off the top guy right now. And then there's a few other improvements that kind of come that jump out to me that aren't just improved by minutes. Free throw shooting up from 50% to 71% this year. Just your general shooting percentage has climbed 5%. Percentage points, and the real kicker, a league-leading 6.2 assists per game. Let's begin there. I mean, you're seeing the court phenomenally this year. Where did it come from?
I think that's always been one of my greatest skills has been my passing. But I think this year as well, just playing around guys like Dakota and Jared and Gillen, obviously, is a great player as well, and Owen, too, everybody. But it just helps me that I can get rid of the rock and they can create plays for themselves as well. Whenever I'm looking to score, if that gets shut down or whatever, they're always looking to cut and help me out. So I'm just always trying to share the rock and get everybody involved. I think that's always been one of my strong suits, but this year with an increased role, I think I've been able to improve my numbers.
You talked about some of this freshman class that's coming in, and boy, have they made an immediate impact with you guys. When did you notice that, okay, these guys are ready to play?
I mean, I think even before they came here, Owen coming from Roosevelt, which is in the PIL, Gillen coming from Oregon City, all the freshmen, honestly. I played with them during the summer for sure and some like runs and stuff like that and worked out with them. So I knew from the jump that they were going to be ready to go. And I think that was a big emphasis in recruiting for Parnell and Mitch was finding dudes that were ready to go. Obviously, with us losing such a big class with Jameson and Keeg and Eric and Blake and all those guys that were super big players, Cam, obviously, that's all of our starters. So they definitely made an emphasis on recruiting guys that were ready to go. So playing with them in the offseason, I knew it, and then once, obviously, practices started and we started doing training camp stuff, it was clear that they were ready to go and make a big impact.
Kind of talked about how your role has shifted into becoming team captain and things like that. Now, leadership on the floor sometimes looks like sharing the rock, trying to get everything, you know, everyone involved. What sorts of things have you had to do off the floor that kind of instill your leadership within the team?
Absolutely. I think just like team bonding stuff. A team that's close on the floor has got to be way closer off the floor. And I think that's something that this group has really like instilled. Everybody's hanging out with each other. Everybody's getting in the gym together. And that's something that I was kind of worried about, obviously, with us losing so many key guys last year. I was worried that maybe the chemistry or something like that would kind of take a hit going into this year. But everybody has just fit in super seamlessly and just, I don't know, all bonded together really well. So off the court stuff obviously translates on, and our group is very good with that.
You're studying business at Oregon Tech. Where do you plan to take that after college?
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm super interested in playing overseas once I finish at Oregon Tech. Mitch, our assistant coach, played overseas, and Jameson, who's now at Idaho State, he's in the process of looking at agents and stuff, and that's somebody that I definitely keep in my corner. So both of those guys will be helpful in that. I do want to play professionally overseas just because after this next year, I don't see basketball. I don't see myself falling out of love with basketball. I see myself keeping it really close to me. So that's definitely a big emphasis for me and something that I want to continue doing.
Jackson Cooper along with us tonight, Oregon Tech men's basketball. We've also got Tatum Schmierbach here with the women's basketball team. I want to do some rapid fire questions with you guys. So just give me the first thing that hits you. Jackson, we'll start with you, and then Tatum, you can answer second. Who's the funniest person on the team?
Colby Wicker.
Tatum?
I'll say Avery Andrews.
Okay. Besides Danny Miles Court, where's the toughest place to play in the Cascade Conference?
College of Idaho.
Lewis Clark State.
Who's in charge of the pregame playlist? And what's your favorite song on said playlist?
Oh, that's
I
tough.
Got the same look from both you guys just now.
It switches up. That's the thing. I'll say I low-key be running it the most, but my favorite song off it, you're going to have to come back to me, Tatum.
Okay. It's usually Gabby, and she is pretty much good for any Don Toliver song. Okay. So those are pretty good.
I would say there's a song that we've been playing in the locker room. It's called, like, I don't know exactly what the name of it is, but it's the chorus is Walk in Your Trap, Take Over Your Trap. And I think that's probably one of my favorites.
All right. Someone fire up Shazam who's listening right now. what's the best radio safe trash talk that you've heard this season?
Well, that's rough.
Oh, I have one. We were playing Southern Oregon, and the student section just kept telling me how I'll never be as good as my sister. So that was a good one.
That's a dig.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of stuff. Not a lot of it's radio friendly, but, I would say probably just like you're garbage or not good enough. It's kind of tough for them to say that when I got 20.
Okay.
Fair enough. That's the clapback. That's the most dangerous thing. If we asked your coach to describe you in three words, what do you think they'd say?
Go ahead, Tatum. Give me a second.
Hopefully hardworking. Is that two or three? Or is
that's
that
one word.
That's one word. Okay. Yeah. Hardworking, competitive, and oh my gosh. Kind, I hope. I don't know.
That's good.
I would say leader, competitive, and loud.
All right, before we wrap things up, I want to talk about what we got coming up this weekend. LC State and Walla Walla, odd tip-off times, noon and 2 o'clock on Friday, 6:30 and 8:30 on Saturday. How much does this throw you off of a typical weekend?
Yeah, it's definitely not ideal, I would say. But in the past, we've had, you know, like a really good time playing Lewis Clark State at home. And I honestly credit that because it's elementary school day. They bring all those kids down at noon, and the energy really doesn't take a hit from being at 5:30 versus being at noon. And I get excited for this game. This is one of my favorite games to play all year. So I honestly look forward to it. And we have a team breakfast before, which kind of gets us up, gets us going. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be prepared. And then the later game, definitely we can feel a little bit of a lull since, you know, we get a little tired, but I think we'll be okay. Yeah, we'll do what needs to be done. So, yeah.
I think just playing it too, obviously it's something that we don't do that often, but like we were talking about this week, like every game from now on is the biggest game of our season. So especially Lewis and Clark State being a game behind us right now, we got to put them away. So I think if this game's at 2, if this game's at 9 o'clock in the morning, if this game's at 10 o'clock at night, like, it don't really matter. We're going to show up ready to play and try to bury him.
How do each of you unwind? I mean, you got busy schedules, college, basketball, travel. What do you do when you have a little bit of free time?
Yeah, I love to, you know, watch movies and just relax, not move my body much, I'd say. Take a nap, maybe. Yeah. But, yeah, I also, spending time with Jackson is one of my favorite things to do. We really just like to hang out. And, yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, I would say the same, too. Obviously, hanging out with Tatum. But, yeah, watching movies, trying to not think about basketball for a little bit is something that Tatum struggles with. No, but I mean, it's something where, I don't know, after a Friday night game or Saturday night game, she'll always be trying to watch film, and I'm like, just put it down for a little bit. Let's watch a movie. Let's do something else. But no, just taking my mind off basketball for a little bit, giving myself the chance to reset. You know, I think that's super important throughout a long season like ours.
Yeah, Jackson Cooper and Tatum Schmierbach along with us tonight on Ballin' in the Basin. Some big games coming up this weekend against LC State and Walla Walla. I'll give you guys the final words. Any thoughts before we part ways today?
Just thank you for having us on. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Show up to both of the games.
Yeah, come support.
Yeah, come support. Come be loud. Yeah.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's Jackson Cooper and Tatum Schmierbach joining us tonight on Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 and 960 Sports. If you missed any part of it, be sure to grab a podcast on mybasin.com. Our show continues next. We're going to wrap things up for you, give you a look ahead at what's coming up this weekend, what we're covering, and where you can find all of it as we continue our show tonight. Ballin' in the Basin on 104.3 960 Sports.
In the studio with Chad Olney, CEO at Pacific Crest Federal Credit Union, with big news for 2026. The credit union's changing its name.
That's right, Jay. On January 1st, Pacific Crest Federal Credit Union will be rebranding as Sage Credit Union.
So why the change?
Well, when the credit union started, it exclusively served Weyerhaeuser employees and their families. Over the decades, our charter has expanded to serve more people. And each time, we updated our name to reflect who we serve. Recently, our regulator granted an expansion for us to open our membership across eastern Oregon and parts of Nevada.
So what changes can people expect?
You'll see a new logo, but as far as our services, things like account numbers and our staffing will all stay the same. Our members don't need to do anything. We're the same credit union, just a new name.
Your new logo has a quail in it. It isn't replacing Juniper, is it?
No, he's just gaining a new friend. Juniper will continue to be the face of our youth account and education program, and he will still be making appearances at community events.
That's good. Pacific Crest is changing its name, but you can still find your people at Sage Credit Union. Still federally insured by NCUA.
Ballin' in the Basin is brought to you by Klamath Falls Subaru on Washburn Way. Visit them at klamathfallssubaru.com. LA. Proved too much for the man.
Josh Eldridge welcoming you back to Ballin' in the Basin tonight on 104.3 and 960 Sports. I lost track of time, I'll be honest with you. That interview with Jackson and Tatum brought me a little bit longer than I wanted to be, right up against time right now. I want to say have a great weekend. Tune in tomorrow, Oregon Tech basketball, Henley basketball as well tomorrow night. And if you missed any portion of tonight's show, grab it on mybasin.com. Ballin' in the Basin, back same time, same place next week. See you then.